Let's go to John 16:7. Hi, Bobby. How's it going? I love you. Think about you often. Such a good man. Don't mean to embarrass you. I just wanted to say hi to you. I learned that, you know, Miss Dodie Osteen, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all know Miss Dodie Osteen. The thing I always liked about her is that she'd get up before John every service. Y'all remember that? She'd get up before John and she'd talk about the people in the church. And they'd shine the camera on them and just spotlight how much she loved somebody. It was so cool. She did that for years. Let's pick up that habit. And then Miss Brim, Sister Brim, will always go, "Oh, hi, MJ, hi." And that just seems right to me. Amen. To say special things to people sometimes. Amen. Okay, let's look at this. This is John 16:7. Title of the message is Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. I got to stop right there for just a minute. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Listen to me. The only sin that's going to take someone to hell is not believing in Jesus. If you take care of that, he'll take care of the rest. Amen. So important to think about that. So of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Oh, Jesus. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So now we know this, but the greatest need of any person is Jesus, because salvation comes from him. However, after you're saved, the greatest need in your life, I hope you know this, is Holy Spirit. You're like, "Well, Pastor, I think the Word is the greatest need." No. Holy Spirit wrote the Word. Holy Spirit will help you understand the Word. And so he is the most important here on the earth with you. And so it's true that when you get saved, we'll just say this for the benefit of those who would go, you know, have a little wobble there. But when you get saved, Holy Spirit comes in. Am I right? Okay. But until you yield to the filling or his baptism to the point of overflow, you're not going to have all you need. Now that's just the truth right there. And so what we see is that you yield to the point of yielding your tongue. And so they came out speaking in tongues. They came out listening to the Spirit. They came out of that upper room drunk.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. It smells good in here. Can y'all smell that? Somebody cleaned good, or Jesus brought in something. Praise the Lord. So, Now, Holy Spirit is extremely powerful, but he's also a gentleman. And he comes when invited. So you don't have to run real hard from him. You just don't invite him, and he's not going to, you know, try to push himself on you. So he works invited, acknowledged, and recognized. Smith Wigglesworth said the Holy Spirit is 1,000 times bigger on the inside than on the outside. Isn't that cool? He's just big on the inside of us. He's the greater one. Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:14 to be strengthened with mighty power according to the riches of God's glory in the what? In the inner man. So he's not far from us, church. He's right here. And he's right here on the inside. Now, sometimes I think we only go down one lane. And so that's where I want to go today. I want to stretch us out a little bit. You know, we love God's presence. And we love when Holy Spirit comes and leaps up on us and we start having a good time in the Lord and doing all the things that we do. When hands are laid on us, so, and we feel that power of God and oh, it's so good and healing takes place, or we love all that. The power hits us, you know. Some people do a little dancing jig, you know. Jessie looked like a chicken kind of when she does hers. It's just really cool looking. And, yeah, praise the Lord. What? It's electricity. That's right. That's my favorite kind of anointing. Cause there's those ones you know and you're like, oh, but that one you're sparked up. I like that. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we love that, but let's just look a little deeper tonight. Let's look into just some things about Holy Spirit, about the function of Holy Spirit. We need to understand, you know, the word comforter, that doesn't just mean, consolation or sympathy or when you're in sorrow or distress. That's good. He does comfort you. It's right. But he's not just a big blanket and a pillow. Okay. It's way better than that. He is that. So the Greek word is parakletos, or we say paraclete. And so he's comforter, but he's counselor. He's helper, he's advocate, he's intercessor, he's strengthener, and he's standby. Now, as an advocate, he has excellence in three areas, and I'm going to tell you the three areas right now. The advocate has excellence in three areas. Exceptional knowledge, expertise in protocol and procedure, and persuasive speaking ability. That's why when you hear preachers preach with the anointing of God, the light turns on.
Right, yeah,
amen. So I'll just repeat them to you again. This is what he's really good at. Exceptional knowledge, expertise in protocol and procedure, and persuasive speaking ability. And, you know, the advocate, that's like a legal defense. Everybody understands that. He's called to render service. He's called to help in a situation with which a man by himself could not cope or cannot cope. He's right there to help in that situation. He'll keep a person on their feet if that person were left alone, they would just collapse. Come on. He enables a person to pass through a breaking point without breaking. Most of us in this room and watching, you've been there. And you wondered how you made it through that. Especially concerning maybe the death of a loved one or a horrible tragedy or something like that or something that piled up against you. But he is there and he helps with that. And so he's a friend to, I like this one. This is probably one of my favorites. He's a friend to an accused person. He's called to support the person's character in order to enlist the sympathy of the judge for favor. And God is the judge. And so, you know, when you feel like people are persecuting you, or they say something ugly about you, or they're accusing you of something and you know it isn't true, you've got somebody right here. And he's already standing up. He's already your advocate. He's already saying what needs to be said. He's the counsel of defense, someone who'll present someone's case to another person in a favorable light. So you'll hear someone say, well, I wonder about that. Why did that happen? And someone will say, well, now look at it this way. Danny actually does that a lot. I'll go, well, why is that? And she'll go, well, now look at this. There's a way to look at things that makes things clearer. I'm just going to go ahead and say it before you get mad about something.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Well, he'll do that if you'll stop and look and listen. You know, no touch fouls.
Right. Yeah.
It is just a touch foul. Yeah. When you could go, what did you mean by that? And then he'll say, now wait a minute, they didn't mean what you think they meant.
Yeah.
You know, he's right there. And then of course that would go on and on into a whole lot bigger pictures than that. So, Now, the paraclete, before they send them into war, they put courage into the faint. They'll talk to them. Okay, this is what we're, and coaches do this too. But they talk to them and they get them to the place where the very ordinary person can cope gallantly, is that right? Gallantly, with a very dangerous situation where you would think they would run, but Paraclete, Holy Spirit goes, come on, stand up, go right in there, do what you need to do. I've got you. I mean, he'll do that. I believe he's done that for a lot of soldiers.
Yeah.
A lot of soldiers. I believe he's done that for a lot of sports players. Get up, do it, whatever it is. And I think he's done that for a lot of us. Yeah. Walk right in there. You can do this. You can take care of this. So he really has the reputation of working with some real losers and making them champions.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, everybody's smiling at that. So, but you know, here's the truth. God expects us to actually, how do I want to say this? To have his latest revelation. He does. That's what he expects. He wants us to come to revelation, to revelation, to revelation. Well, in this case, it's in Christ. In Christ, in whom? In him. That's the revelation we're looking at. And what that really means, what it is to be in Christ. And so the way we're able to understand Christ fully is only if we're filled and overflowing with the Spirit of God.
Right.
If we're in that overflow, we can understand, we can detect, we can get a deeper revelation when Holy Spirit is full on the inside of us when we're in that overflow place. Amen. It's just way easier. So that's a good thing. And really, church, if I could say this to you, our only safeguard from dropping back into our natural minds is that we can never not be filled with the Spirit. Let me say it like that. We have to be filled with the Spirit or you're going to drop back into the natural.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you are looking at me like, what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be full. Be full all the time. We leak.
Sure.
We leak. We have to go through life and we start leaking. And so you have to continue to be filled with the Spirit. And you know, it's a luxury to be filled with the Spirit, yet it's a command. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Holy Spirit never comes to you to make you look good. He has more of a strategy than that. You will look good, but there's more of a strategy behind it. He's actually strengthening you in the areas that you need so that you can face any situation. Amen. When the storm comes and it's over and the dust settles, you'll still be standing.
Yep.
Yeah, we got through it, Lord, but it's something you receive. So how many have been to California? Anybody in here ever been to California, lived in California? I know there's at least three people here that have lived in California. Bless your hearts. We're glad you came to Texas. Just kidding, California. Love you, Nancy. No. Pastor Nancy, excuse me. So when you get down in a certain place where there are those earthquakes, you know, you see those cables that run from corner to corner. Have y'all ever seen those? There's cables that run from corner to corner in some of the houses. They're called seismic retrofits. Seismic retrofits. And so you know what they're there for. They're there to hold everything together. And so Holy Spirit actually does that for you. He's put some seismic retrofits on you. And he'll hold you together even when everything's shaking around you. He'll hold you together. You will be all right. You will make it through. Just stay together. Everything's going to quit shaking and you're still going to be standing. Amen. You're not going to collapse. He gives that to you. And then another thing about the Holy Spirit is he's a first responder. He's a first responder. The Bible says in Genesis There's God right there. It says the earth was actually void and without form. Everything was out of order. Everything was dark, ugly, full of chaos. Holy Spirit jumps in the middle of the mess. He's ready. He's in there. And then he moved when God said, let there be light. And so he starts fixing everything. Everything that was ugly became beautiful. Let me just say that again. Everything that was ugly became beautiful. Everything that was ugly became beautiful. When the first responder, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit comes in, whatever's ugly, whatever's in chaos can turn beautiful.
That's right.
I like that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being with us. And so he's not afraid of a mess. Oh, get that. He's not afraid of a mess.
Amen. That's good.
I was listening to the story that you went to see the movie, The Jesus Revolution. Many of you, go see it. One of the interesting things is Lonnie Frisbee. So if you go back, I listened to a whole thing on his life last night. He went through some interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. And some tough stuff. Yeah. And really not flowing like any, you know, there was a lot of bumps for him that he ran into. I'll just say it like that. Of course, in the end, redeemed, blessed, and everything. But he came in there rough. And God used him in a mighty way. And he went through like three moves of God. Now he got kicked out of the middle move, which I would have gotten kicked out too. It was the shepherding movement. Remember that? Some of you who are older, you remember that movement. Yeah. I remember you seriously, were involved in it. But I was too rebellious to be that. I'm not doing it. I went to church with Pentecostal people. And of course, you know, we were raised in our britches. And so one day they came and they said, well, really thinking about, you know, maybe wearing dresses. I went, nope. And you know, they backed off and left me alone. And guess what? I could talk in tongues just like the rest of them. Praise the Lord. So it was a good rebellion. It was a rebellion against religion. And since then, of course, I'm sure it's still out there, but way better now. But you know, you may go through some hard things and you may think, wow, how's God going to use me or how's life going to get better? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, he's going to help you every time. He'll get right in the middle of the mess and it doesn't bother him. He'll get in the pit wherever you have the weakness, wherever you're struggling, and he will take you to victory. So this is Romans 8:26. I'm going to read it to you. It's the Passion Translation. It says, in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or the best thing to ask for. But Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So you see there, if you looked at the King James, it would say, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, the word infirmities, Rick Renner helped us with that. He showed us the translation. It is a crippling disease, a mental oppression, a recurring plague, which is terminal or incurable. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I think we take that word too lightly, but in any kind of infirmity, Holy Spirit can get in there and work and change things. Amen. That word helpeth there, means to take hold of, together with you against. So he comes in there and works with you against that thing that is trying to get to you. Sometimes when I don't know how to pray yet, you probably do this too. When I don't know how to pray and I'm still in hope, I'm about to go after my faith on purpose while I'm still in hope. And maybe if I have a pain or something, or it's something that looks, I'll say, Lord, you protect me right now. I have faith for that. You protect me right now until I know the words to say. And I just say it with a certain boldness, and he does it every time. He protects me, and then he leads me to the right thing to say and then the right things to do. Amen?
Amen.
He's such a great leader. Praise the Lord. So he will helpeth you. And so the thing about it is, church, is he can pray beyond your knowledge. Okay. He prays beyond your natural language. And it said with groanings that cannot be uttered. That means it's beyond your articulate speech. You can say a lot of things, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he can say things that'll change the spirit world, that will change the natural world. And so you put your faith in him doing that and working with you. And you like don't always know. I mean, you're in a secret place. You don't know what that groaning is. You don't know what those words are. You sometimes your flesh feels like it's kind of silly sometimes. I mean, some of the world people came to our prayer meetings. It just freak them out. And then they would love it.
Yeah.
Amen. Because a lot of stuff goes on.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff.
Yes.
He'll get in there and work and change and do things. Amen. So you have help. So here's the truth. The only way a Christian can be defeated is if he's spiritually depleted. The only way you can be defeated is if you're spiritually depleted. So if you feel like you're losing, start pumping it up. Start worshiping God. Get up and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Go to church. Praise God with somebody. Walk down the road praising God. Walk down the road and tell God how grateful you are. Acknowledge all the good things that he's done. And you'll start pumping back up. Jude 1:20 says, but beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So the English version says, fortify yourself. You're going to build yourself up. You're going to fortify yourself. The Amplified says making spiritual progress. You'll make spiritual progress. I always say this. Y'all have heard me say this for 20 years. Those of you who've been here that long, that's laying out the tracks of your life. Lord, I'm going to pray about this. We, we're making a decision yesterday about getting a new driveway. And so the guy, you know, he was like, well, you want to do it and I'll give you a discount. And da, da, da. And so he was doing next door and it looked pretty and we checked out his credentials and all that. And so we said, no, we'll call you in a minute. So we got in the car and we said, Lord, we're going to get a new driveway. And then we prayed. And then we said, Lord, we're not doing it. And then we prayed
in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. We prayed in tongues. Mm-hmm. And, you can tell pretty quick which side God's on. When you're praying in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you say, well, I can't. I never can tell. You haven't prayed long enough.
Yeah.
You haven't prayed long enough. You got to pray until your mind gets out of the way. You got to pray so and after you do it for a while, you'll learn how to shift faster.
Right.
You got to practice this stuff sometimes. Amen?
Sure.
So what I want to do is we connect with God. We get charged up. So I want to tell you how to win in the deepest struggles. Okay? I'm going to tell you. I've got two things to tell you. This is going to be the first one, then I have one more. This is how to win in the deepest struggles. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's three human parts, and you know them. We're spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Your spirit is the real you. Say that. My spirit is the real me. That's you. This thing is the house. Some people have gray roofs. Some people have blonde roofs with dark roots. Some people have brown roofs, but that's what Sister Brim used to say.
Yeah.
But this is our house that we live in. But we're a spirit on the inside of it. Amen. And so you know what your soul is, it's your mind, your will, and your emotions, which operate through your brain. But then your body is designed to carry and express the spirit that's in you. That's what it's designed for. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So, but at times, this is real simple. We'll get through this real simple. At times your body and your soul seem to get stronger than your spirit. And they try to bully you. Come on. Your thinking and your body get together and they'll try to bully you. Say this. Go ahead, do it. Don't do it. Whichever way they, you know, I'm too tired. You need to lay down. You know, whatever it is, they'll try to. But the thing is that through the power of the Spirit, you overcome. Remember what I just said. He comes in and helps. So your spirit man is not alone coming against the two bullies. You have greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so you can say, nobody. You going to church? No, you're not going to eat four donuts. No, you're not. I'm sorry. No, I should have picked a different thing. Four cupcakes. We've had a donut talk today. Praise the Lord. Love you. Notice I didn't say what I liked because donuts don't bother me. Praise the Lord. God is good. But whatever it is, no, you are going to get up off the couch. No, you are going to do this. No, praise the Lord. I'm standing here in your body. I'm in you and you're standing here in church and you will smile and you won't act like you're on jury duty and you will get up and praise the Lord.
Amen.
See? Well, Holy Spirit's here to help all that.
Right.
Well, I really want to give, but what if I don't have enough? Do what the Spirit tells you to do. Tell your brain you're going to do what the Spirit tells you you're going to do. On and on and on like that. Amen? So he will help you overcome. And here's the way we have to see it. So out on our property, we have a log barn. Jeff Lewis built it, and it's beautiful. And John came in on the scene and put the roof on it and so. So they both really did it. He did some of the logs. But I'm talking about Jeff because he thinks he saw some termites. Okay? So now the termites are there. If they are there, and we'll go look again here pretty soon. We kind of ignored them a little bit right now, but we'll go see if they're there. Well, now I don't have to find someone to blame for the termites. Yeah. Well, how did those termites get there? How did they get in that wood? Now whose fault? I don't have to do that.
No.
Do I?
No.
I don't have to look for who to blame. And, it wasn't me who had the termites. The barn has the termites. I don't have the termites.
Yeah.
So likewise, listen to me. If there's sin, if there's bad habits, if there's bad attitudes, you don't have the termites. Your house does.
Yep.
Come on. Come on. Christ is in you. You're in Christ. Maybe your soul's giving you trouble. Maybe your body's giving you trouble. But that, can I talk Texan? That ain't you. And you can rise up against the bullies.
That's right.
Because you've got big brother,
yeah.
Holy Spirit,
yep.
And dad,
right.
Father God,
yep.
Who is the judge of all,
yep.
Who can tell those two bullies to shut up.
That's right.
I think we need to look at that because I think we get all entangled on the inside. Why do I keep doing this? Why am I so bad? And then you pay twice for everything you do because you feel bad about doing it. You know, that eating circle thing is you ate it, then you wish you didn't eat it, then you feel so bad about yourself that you got to comfort yourself so you need to eat it.
Oh, tell it, Pastor.
Now, maybe not everybody deals with that. But some of us are familiar with that. Amen. I'm just saying. And so there's things like that that you can actually conquer.
Yeah.
That could be your mouth doing that. Maybe it's not food. Maybe it's your mouth. You said it, and then you felt so bad about saying it, and then you're, and so then you're mad, and so then you say it again. It's like Jesse with the motorcycle. You remember that one? He's trying putting the cover on the motorcycle, and Kenneth and them are laughing at him. And they're saying something about, you forgot to lock it or something. And he has to take it all off again. And he makes some sort of comment. What is it that this never works for me or something?
I always forget.
And they start laughing. That's the problem right there. And then he just almost falls down and says, this confession stuff is killing me. I'm sure you've heard him say that. I've heard him for many years, but isn't that the truth? How, you know, but this is when he first started. Of course, he doesn't talk like that anymore, but it's interesting. So just look at it this way. You're not the barn. You're not the house, and you can tell your house what to do.
That's
amen.
Right.
So you can get rid of anything through the power of the Spirit. Here's Romans 8:13. If you live by your corrupt nature, you're going to die. But if you use your spiritual nature to put to death the evil activities of the body, you will live. So the idea is to trust in God who lives in you.
Right.
Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So you're joined to the Lord and you form a single spirit. I like that. I really like that. You form a single spirit. It's me and God. Boom. Now you're in power. You're in some power right there. Now you start overcoming. Praise God. So you pray in the Spirit, you worship in the Spirit, you rejoice in the Spirit, you serve God in the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, and you start getting strengthened. I'm telling you, it's as simple as start telling yourself what you're going to do. I can't tell you how many days of my life I've done that. No. You will straighten up right now. You're going to stop this right now. Shut that thing down right now. And then sometimes I'll go out and I'm walking and praying and I'll say, I need mercy right now, Lord. I need your help right now. I need to stop this. You know, so you know how to do that. That's what we do. So yield to the Spirit. He's going to take things that are out of order and put them in order. That's a prophetic word for right now. Whatever is out of order, yield to Holy Spirit, and he's going to put them in order. He'll do it for you. Well, how can we ever fix this? How can we ever fix this? How can we ever break through? Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to the unction of God. Yield yourself. Okay, Lord, show me. Show me now. What's the first thing he's going to show you? What to say, what to pray. And then he'll start showing you what to do. Or someone will come along and show you something. Now, so you receive that tonight?
Yes.
One more thing I want to talk to you about. And it's kind of short and sweet, but I wanted to mention it to you. Life was never meant to go through sober. I know that's an interesting statement, but life was never meant to go through sober. Be filled with the Spirit. Here's your statement. Here's your 5-second soundbite. Drink better, think better. Drink better, think better. So Ephesians 5:18 again, don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians 5:19, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Drink of the Spirit. We were doing that just a minute ago. Jesse was leading us in it. We're singing songs. We're praising God. Come on, my soul. You can do it. Come on. Lord, I praise you. I worship you. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to the unction of God. Let him do his will. He'll do your will in my life. Y'all know I'm quoting a song, right? So, don't be drunk of wine. I'm going to say it again because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Drink of the Spirit. When they came out of the upper room, I said it a while ago, everybody thought they were drunk. He had to tell them, we're not drunk as you suppose. It's only the ninth hour. It's 9 a.m. And so the anointing of the Holy Spirit will make you lose your mind and put on the mind of Christ.
That's good.
That's what it'll do. So stop thinking and start drinking. Mm-hmm. You're thinking too much. How will we? Well, you know, it's interesting that we spend all that time thinking and all that time talking and all that time figuring when the one who knows everything is sitting right here on the inside of us. He's got it all figured out. Where's your next job? Where's your next point of ministry? What's the next thing you're going to do? Where are you headed to? What are you doing? What can you do about this? He has every answer, and he has yet to fail if people listen to him. So, you know, nobody ever got drunk by thinking. You know, I want to give you a newsflash. People get drunk by drinking. Have y'all heard that? So, anyone that's ever gotten stopped on the way home from the bar and they're arrested for driving while intoxicated, you know, when they're questioned, they don't say this. Well, I was at the bar. I was just sitting there thinking. Now, if they said that, the officer's not going to believe them. They know exactly what they were doing. And it'll probably show up in a minute. Starkle, starkle. You know? Y'all know that? You know what I'm going to say? We'll pass it by. Praise the Lord. Can't think. They can't think straight, so their words start coming out wrong.
Yeah.
And that is a revelation right there. When you're not thinking straight, your words come out wrong.
Uh-huh.
Starkle, starkle, little twink. Who you am the heck I think. I'm not alcoholfluenced on alcohol like some thinkle peep I am. I just had tea martinis and I feel so foolish. Uh-huh. But that's the same thing with being drunk on the wrong thing. I mean, none of us are interested in being drunk on alcohol. But you can be drunk with the wrong thing. But if you're filled with the Spirit, those words aren't going to come out like what I just said. They're going to come out right. You're going to come out because Holy Spirit's going to be there helping you. And so I'm just going to tell you, you have to have a drinking relationship with Holy Spirit. You're going to, and here's the thing about drinking. You cannot drink with your mouth shut. You try it. You can't do it. You can't suck it up through your nose. You have to open your mouth to drink. You're going to have to praise the Lord. You're going to have to open your mouth. You're going to have to say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord. Holy God. Holy God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I worship you. I thank you, Lord. I come into the Holy of Holies. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you come in and you begin to drink of the Spirit like that. And the Holy Spirit will begin to prevail. Just when I just did that, I just got, intoxicated, just praising the Lord like that.
Glory to God.
I mean, look, and you don't have to do it all excited like I am. I'm just preaching right now, but it can be, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. You are the Most High God. You are worthy of our praise. Thank you for being my Father. Thank you for being my brother. Thank you for what you've done. I respect you and honor you and love you today as the King of the universe. You know, you're the object of my best affection. I adore you, Jesus. You know, just saying things like that. And here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. And he starts coming in. He starts flowing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid.
Yes.
Thank you for taking away my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace.
Yes.
Thank you that you're faithful. You're so faithful, Lord. Thank you for being faithful, Lord. Yes. Thank you for being faithful. These are the kind of things, this wakes you up. So I've just been drinking right now. And some of y'all just went with me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God's looking for drinkers. And he'll fill you with laughter. But he'll fill you with strength. The joy of the Lord is what? It's your strength. Amen. John 7:37 said this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. John 7:38 said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That water, church, is not natural water. It's God's life. It's Zoe. That river is literally coming from the throne room right now. And it pours into the earth through you. Right now, you have a river on the inside of you. I got a river flowing out of me. Makes the blind, the lame to walk and the blind to see. Praise the Lord. You've got a river on the inside of you. And if you let that river flow, you connect with the kingdom. You connect with Jesus. You connect with Holy Ghost. You connect with everything heaven is involved in on the right side of things. And things begin to move. Things begin to change. You cannot just live this life serving God with your flesh. Just living in your flesh and get what you and God really want.
Yeah.
You can't do it. But you can go to work every morning, get in your car and start worshiping God. You can spend a little time worshiping him and thinking about him. And you'll start perking up. You'll start rising up. He'll start moving. He'll start flowing. Praise the Lord. You're working out on the, what's it called? The skid steer. What's it called? Is that what it's called? Or the backhoe, or you're out fishing, or you're doing whatever it is you do, running your company, getting clients. You can do all of that. You can do every bit of that in the Spirit of God. Yeah. You don't know the people I work around. Well, they can get to know you. And that doesn't mean that you have to force God down their throats. It's just that you will, you'll be just putting off that. That wonderful aroma of God, that presence of God, why do you think you're favored? It's not because you're all that in a bag of chips. Sorry, guys. You're favored because of God Almighty. He has blessed your life. You're favored to move forward because of God. Revelations 22:1. This has got two verses here and we're done. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. 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 Holy Spirit is not waiting for you to be perfect. He's the one that'll help you get there. He's not waiting for you to be out of a mess. Woo. Stuff's happening in here. He's not waiting for that. He's here for you right now. Right now. Absolutely right now. He's strong. He's not afraid. He's powerful. He's mighty. But he can be very quiet. Or he can get very loud. He's talking all the time. He talks all the time. He's the most important, I'll say thing, although I don't mean it that way. The most important thing in your life is the Holy Spirit. True. He will lead you and guide you and help you understand King James Version. Amen. He's doing it right now. He'll change you. When he baptizes you in that fire, it's not fire of trouble. It's the winnowing fork, the chaff is being thrown up in the air and the fire is coming through and burning out all the soulish, nasty junk that you get free from whoever hurt you, whatever happened, whatever you may opposed yourself in, whatever it was, whatever heartache it is, Holy Spirit is the healer. Just don't refuse him. Don't refuse him. And you can. And you can be a preacher, Holy Ghost talking woman, man of God, and refuse him and not realize it sometimes. Because I've done it and he's gotten on to me. When my little doggy died, I've told you all this before, my first little doggy, Max. And we just could not understand because, you know, we were faithing for him to just live. And he left while I was teaching at Christ for the Nations. And they told me right before I stepped up to teach. You talk about having to take the runway.
Yeah, you did.
But guess who was in here? I got up there, I smiled, I laughed, I taught the class, walked out, moved in the gifts in the class, that's what they wanted me to do, walked outside, got in the car, cried. But God did that, Holy Spirit did that. And then I can't understand it. About a week later, I'm driving by Cimarron Ranch, or 2 weeks later actually, driving by Cimarron Ranch, it comes up to me, I just don't understand it. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "You refuse to be comforted." And I was like, well, you're right. And I took it right then, and happy that Mackie's in heaven.
Amen.
Never bothered me again. It wasn't that he was gone. You understand? It was the tragedy and that my faith didn't pull him through that. That's what was aggravating me and making me unhappy. But as soon as God rebuked me, I like it when he does it. He can straighten me out anytime.
Oh, yes.
I was mouthing off one time and he in the parking lot over something I'm not going to mention again. I was mouthing off about what I wanted a preacher to do. I was young. And he told me real loud, "Shut up!" And I heard it. I mean, it feels like I heard it with my eyebrows, you know. I was like... And I was like, okay. And then he said, "You don't go there. You don't speak against a minister. Ever. They're anointed. You don't talk. The fivefold ministry is anointed by God. And you better not be opening your mouth."
Right. Amen.
And I'm telling you, I got right there and repented. And of course, that was the end of it for me. And sure enough, when I went back to the meeting, what I was hoping for and semi-complaining about, that person went right down the line and did what I wanted, what I was thinking would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm so glad he shut me up. I'm so glad he talks to us. I'm so glad he'll stop us.
Yeah.
Lord, you want me to buy that car or walk away? Run! He'll do that for you. Lord, you want me to invest in that? No. Lord, you want me to invest in that? Wait.
Yeah.
No, you want me to do that? Wait.
Yeah.
I mean, he will lead you, church. He will lead you. And you are living. I'm going to go back to this one more time and I'll close. This river of living water is not just for you.
Yeah, that's right.
It's healing. It's blessing. It's prospering. But it flows through up out of you and will bring the kingdom of God to this world. And listen, you think, well, I'm just small. Well, don't despise small beginnings. You'd be surprised how many thousands of people that you have affected.
It's not
small. You would be surprised, us as a corporate group, although we're not, 5,000 people. You'd be surprised how many people's lives we've have affected over the years. We'd go to Fort Worth. We were in Granbury one day. Y'all know where Granbury is? And there's a place there called Babe's Chicken. And me and Deb and the Hollers like Babe's Chicken, so we stop in there. And a lady comes up to us and says, "I know you." And I always, funny, "Oh, you see me on TV?" And then we laugh and I said, "Not really, I'm just kidding." She says, "No, but I saw you in prison. You preached to me in prison and my whole life's different."
Wow.
Now that's happened to Ron. He's been in a whole nother town. "I knew you from prison. Changed my life."
Wow.
So, you know, you never know. Well, I was watching. People will tell us, oh, I watch you on Facebook all the time. I don't even know who some of them are. But we're helping people change. We're changing their lives. But it's Holy Spirit doing it.
Yeah.
It's Holy Spirit doing it. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. But you are who you're supposed to be. And who you are is changing this world. Father, we thank you for this river. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, Lord, that we can tell our soul to rise up. That lion inside of us will rise up. I thank you, Lord, that we're not shy or embarrassed or too prideful to do what you want to do, Holy Spirit, because you are the one that matters in these services, in our lives, in our world. This is what matters. You matter. Your presence matters. The glory matters. The anointing that comes from the kingdom of God matters. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for this great awakening. And we thank you that the river runs and flows through us. Out of our bellies flows, it will flow a river. And I say that it will not be stopped. It will not be quenched. We will move forward as a corporate river and do all that you've called us to do. And we'll see glorious things in the church, in the ecclesia, in this city, in this state, because of what you are doing. We yield ourselves to you right now. Right now, we yield ourselves to you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for it. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that the anointing come on you, fall on you right now and bless your life right there where you're sitting. If you're quiet, you're quiet. That's fine. But whatever you're doing right now, may the Holy Spirit just touch you right now and change you on the inside and minister to you on the inside. Leap on the inside of them in Jesus' name. Thank you for the anointing for the people who are watching. May the Holy Spirit come strong on you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to the people who are watching this evening, for ministering to our children right now, our youth right now, for those that couldn't be here tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we stretch out, that this river pours out over those that we love in Jesus' name. It's poured out over the finances. It's poured out over our bodies. It's poured out over our homes, our lives, the protection that we need. We have it all from you. But Father, most of all, I'm just saying, I didn't come here to ask you for anything. I just want you. I just want you. I'm glad to say these things for the people. I'm just looking for you. I'm looking for what you want to do. What are you thinking right now? What do you want to do right now? And then you always talk back. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. I praise you. Thank you, Lord, for every person that is drinking right now, that they are filled.